Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. We have had an action-packed show today. It has been loaded to the brim, and we're going to keep it rolling. Our weekly chat this time every Wednesday with Chris Mason, former Predators goaltender, Willie's partner in the booth for Fox Sports Tennessee, or whatever they're calling, virtual games, or who knows what they're up to these days. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just driving around town, running a couple errands, and obviously looking forward to talking to you guys.
Did you happen you're out and about, so you may not have seen this. Did you happen to see the statement that the Canadians put out there on behalf of their captain, Shea Weber?
I did not.
Well, it won't surprise you. A very well thought out comment about currently what's going on, you know, just awareness of what you know, our country is facing, and he basically a very honest approach of saying, I didn't deal with that, but what needs to happen moving forward? Just a very well-thought-out piece by Shea Weber, and that should surprise no one.
No, I think, you know, obviously with what's happened recently, I think everybody, you know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes it takes the extreme for us to really, you know, look in the mirror and reflect. And, you know, we've been through this before, and, you know, after the news cycle passes in a couple weeks, it tends to just go to the wayside. But I feel like with everything that happened before with the pandemic and then now this, I feel personally like it's different, and people are serious to finally, you know, work together and try to make a big change of something that's been an issue, quite frankly, for way too long. So, I'm really proud of a lot of the hockey players and the people in that community that have shown their support, and also the self-reflection that we all have to do that, you know, maybe we haven't been having the discussions and we haven't been, you know, doing the things that we've all said that we should have done the last time something tragic like this happened, and, you know, use your power to vote and to, you know, get this going in public forum and, you know, discussing with the people that actually, you know, are experiencing this, you know, that I have no idea. I can maybe listen to somebody and hear what it's like, but I personally have absolutely zero idea what it's like to, you know, to drive around maybe as a black man and be in fear of, you know, getting pulled over, or, you know, just the, all the terrible, horrible things and the feelings that people deal with. And the fact that everyone is coming out right now and is in support of this. I don't think I've ever seen it have this many people react to the situation. And, you know, I just hope it continues is the big thing, because a lot of times it happens and it gets pushed by after a month or a few weeks. And I feel that this time may be different. And I really hope it is.
I think you may be onto something. Shea Weber says sports is a unifying force. It brings people together. We now need to be united in this fight and work together. He goes on to say, we need to push for equality and put our resources and voices together to bring change. We can make the world better by working together. Did you ever experience it? Did you ever see a teammate? You know, I know hockey is constantly, you know, the Hockey is for Everyone campaign. They're certainly trying to get more people involved in the sport, more people, you know, from around the world, different races, different backgrounds. And did you ever see anything like that in playing hockey your entire life? Did you experience anything like that?
Yes, of course. I've heard, I've played with black players, I've played against them, I've heard racial slurs from fans, things like that. And, you know, it's horrible. It's just when people are, you know, experiencing hate and just these awful things that you just can't imagine ever, you know, going through yourself. It's one thing to call somebody, you know, a name and you're going back and forth, but to go to that length and that hate is awful. And the one thing I look back on too is, you know, at the time when my teammate or my opposition player experienced that, it's not something that they would talk about. They just kind of took it and accepted it, like, hey, well, obviously that's terrible and they were mad, but there was never really much discussion about it, about how they felt about it. And now I think with the way that it seems to be going, I think that it's opening up a lot of opportunity to have those discussions. And, you know, it's such a tough and touchy topic, I think. It's hard to find the right words, especially when, you know, you don't know if you're, you know, white, what the right questions are to ask, or, you know, is it appropriate to ask these questions? Is it, you know, and you know, the other way I can't really speak to if you're an African-American or, you know, how you approach the situation, you just bring it up. But I feel now that the way that it's going, I feel it's something that people, you know, the barrier to that is kind of broken down. I would have no problem asking anymore. And I think, because I want to be educated myself, because I don't know. I listen to other people's experiences, and that's the only way that I could maybe empathize or maybe try to understand. But to educate myself and my kids, and we always talk about this as a family, and, you know, and we've talked about it, obviously, since George Floyd and this, everything that's going on right now and what it means, and, you know, what we can do, and how we can help, and just the bottom line is kindness, understanding, and just, I feel, is educating everybody. It starts at school, it starts at home. I just want to learn. I want to talk, and I have experience in it, and it is absolutely horrendous, and it's just one of the worst things that you could ever imagine, you know, in terms of the way that, just only imagine what that person feels like, and to see sometimes, like I've seen where you don't react, where the person didn't really react to it and just kind of accepted that, hey, that's, you know, that's just the way it is, and it should not be like that. And so I hope that real change is coming. And I know we say this all the time, but I feel personally that this feels different.
Chris Mason is with us. Great thoughts, Mace, and I think we're all searching ourselves and thinking about a lot of those same issues. We've had some great people on our show and some great conversations that you and I have also been privy to, and just talking more about this subject. I think that's going to be very important going forward. In the meantime, I you know, on the fun side of things, we had some simulated games that you and I have announced, and I guess I've certainly not asked you on the air, but of course a couple of them now have aired in different places. In fact, game one of the simulated Stanley Cup Finals aired even on our radio station last night. So what's it been like for you to call a video game?
Well, I play video games, but actually calling one, I've had a lot of fun doing it, because first of all, I feel like, you know, for you and I, this could be potentially what we're doing when, you know, the NHL comes back to play. So where, you know, you look on a screen and, you know, you call the game from there, and it's a very different experience, but I've enjoyed it. I love hockey, and I love the fact that what makes it fun for me is, first of all, doing it with you. I love that, like, we both really get into it, and we take, you know, pride in getting into character and try to be as authentic as we possibly can, but that fans are enjoying this, and this is something that kind of caught on. I don't know if they fully expected it to catch on this much and be as big as it is, but it's been fun. But some of the funniest parts is like the video, the virtual fans or the security guard or just those random things. John Hines with, you know, he's got a little bit of a belly and a full head of hair. Like, just little things like that is hilarious. Nats in there. Just, but the attention to detail in those games, the arena looks exactly like the arena. They have all the banners. They play the, you know, the goal, the cat sound after we score the goals. It's been awesome, actually.
The detail is amazing on each individual fan. It is something to see. It's more entertaining than I ever imagined. Just watching those things. And then, of course, the other thing that continues on are these Golden Classics from 2017. Mace, you and I were both in Anaheim. Chase and Darren were as well. I had not ever rewatched the Game 5. We've certainly we've gone back and forth a ton on Game 6, and that is tomorrow, the win that gets Nashville to the Stanley Cup Final, the Colton Sissons hat trick. I had not... I guess I had not recalled the detail as much on the Game 5 miraculous win. I don't know if it's miraculous, but the gutsy win with the depleted roster. I watched it again last night, and I'm telling you, it was intense. The stuff going on between the two teams, the physicality, and the brilliant play of Pekka Rinne, it was really something to see.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I didn't watch last night, but I've watched a few of these games over the run, and you know, I was never one to, and I think a lot of players are like this, to remember one specific game or the detail. You kind of remember the whole thing as one, and you know, a lot of people, you don't forget the Stanley Cup final with Pittsburgh and all those games. I can kind of remember a lot of the detail of that, but the way that team, just, it was such a just this powerful feeling, the belief and the just refusal to be denied to get to that point. Against all odds, they lose their top two centermen, and they're in, you know, they're killing each other in Anaheim and Pekka-Rinne. You know, he had a tough final there, but the play that for them to get there, he was absolutely phenomenal. And those two games in particular, that one in Anaheim, where, like you said, it was doom and gloom, and it didn't look good when you lose Fisher and Johansson because they were playing so well, and lose your top two centers, and in comes, you know, Freddie Gaudreau and Colton Sissons moves up and all this, and it's like, well, you know, they had a good run. It's tough, and, you know, it's going to take a miracle to win this one. But the way that they did it, the way that Pekka played in that game, and then game six again, like, he was just they shouldn't have won that game. You know, it's crazy. And then Colton Sissons, how does he get a hat trick in game six? Probably one of the best performances in the history of the Predators, to be honest with you. It was just, it's so fun reliving that. And when I see those things and I watch that, I, as a player, I'm like thinking, hey, get Pecks to watch this one, and this will, you know, look at how he played in this game. And that's, you know, if you can't get fired up and just to harness that feeling, I mean, it's not as easy as that, but, you know, watching those types of performances do kind of help you get back in that mindset. And he was just unreal.
Yeah, I agree 100% with the mindset part of it. There were two stretches in that game last night, the game five in Anaheim. The Ducks pushed ahead 1-0, and they go on the power play, and you're thinking, if they score on this power play, there's just not enough firepower for Nashville to come back with the lineup the way it was. And they just barraged Pekka-Rinne, and they somehow, it looked like Roman Josi and a couple of the other guys on the ice penalty killing were going to collapse. They were on empty. The puck was in their zone for about two straight minutes, and they survived it. And a couple minutes later, Colin Wilson scores on a great backhander to tie the score. And then right before Pontus Aberg's game winner, where he topples over Jonathan Bernier to score what ends up being the game-winning goal, the minute up to that, leading up, there was another huge barrage on Pekka-Rinne, pile up in front of the goal, and bodies flying. Pekka was actually knocked into the net at one point by Corey Perry, of all people. And they somehow survived and go back down the other way and score. It just is amazing. That's what you love about hockey, right, Mace, that you can have this back-to-the-wall thing, and it looks like there's no way you possibly could find a way to win a game. But there's that competitive drive, and there's that ability to make that one big play that can turn it around.
Well, you're right, and it's I go back to the feeling of belief in a room or as a team or as a collective group or whatever. But, you know, and you can't do that without a performance that Pekka-Rinne put in. But you need guys. I forgot about Pontus Aberg. You know, that's a name that there's so many names throughout the playoffs of guys stepping up. Cody McLeod, Vern Fiddler at different times that are not the guys. Ryan Johansson had an incredible playoff run until he got hurt. He went toe-to-toe with all these guys. He was just physically dominant. He took on Kessler. He was unbelievable. Defensively, every side of the puck, he was a beast. You know, and it takes all the collective team to make something like that happen, especially, you know, a team that's, first of all, starting as an underdog to begin with. And then you go, we know they swept Chicago, they took on St. Louis, beat them up pretty good, and then just absolutely, you know, went to war with Anaheim. And they got physically beat up. They lost a couple of big players, but, you know, that one play, those three or four saves that Pekka, just the margin for error, especially when you're depleted like that, it's just so small, and it just takes so many different elements to have success. But it all starts with, you know, that belief and that just refusal to lose. That just you just will not be denied. And I felt like they really had that. And even in the final, I thought the first game they were all over. Pittsburgh just had that long series with Ottawa, and you know, they came out, Nashville was all over them that first game. They, you know, the goal, the offside goal, it was just, you know, it was just unbelievable. It was such, it was probably my favorite sports moment outside of being a player ever. And to experience that as a broadcaster, and obviously with my allegiance to the Preds, and just to be feeling like they were part of it. It was just such a miraculous run, and to see the city, you know, it's one of the memories of my lifetime that I will never forget, and one of my dearest memories. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, as Preds fans, and even in this city, it was just, the whole thing was just like a fairy tale.
Chris Mason is with us here and Darren Donica Chase, and you brought up the final, and that's where I was going to go, because 3 years ago today, the first Stanley Cup final game being played in Nashville, game three, and you talked about it with game one in Pittsburgh. I mean, the Preds were all over them, couldn't quite get it done, and they were down 0-2 when the series shifted to Nashville. And I just remember my experience of never having been to a Cup final, and I didn't go to Pittsburgh, so this was my first Cup final game to be able to experience here in Nashville. And I remember Ia Brizgalov was here and came on with Ryan and I, and Charles Barkley was around, and just all the celebrities and the pomp and circumstance that was involved with it. But, and you kind of alluded to it talking about you personally, but just that game, that game three in which the Predators won 5-1, just kind of what was going through your mind as somebody that was around at the beginning to see the Cup final being in Bridgestone Arena?
It felt like, you know, as a former player, and as a lot of guys that live here now, and, you know, I've talked to people that have come back for Preds Fest and all these different types of events, and you feel like you're in a way, you're kind of part of it, just like the fans are. I think you help build something, and as an organization, as a player, in the long term, you want to build something that's special, that stands for something, that's successful, that has a bond with the community, with its fans. And to just think of, you know, what it was like when the team first got here, and what, you know, how people viewed Nashville and the Nashville Predators and this as a hockey town. And, you know, it's like everybody does when a new team comes in and it's in the South, everybody kind of discards it and tries to discredit it because of where it is. And the fact that, you know, the adversity that this team went through in terms of almost losing the team and then coming back and getting you know, amazing ownership and support from the city, and to finally reach, you know, that ultimate place. Obviously, they haven't won yet, but, you know, they're going to win a Stanley Cup. And to get there and to see Nashville shine on such a big stage and to be the talk of the world in hockey, it's all anybody could ever talk about. And it was really cool, and it was you feel pride, I think, to be part of an organization that built it up from the grassroots and did it the right way, and to see them finally have that type of success and to shine on that stage, it was amazing. I remember game six, after game six, when they won that game and they clinched to go in the finals, I got emotional, and I don't get like that often, but it was just the outside. I was on the plaza getting ready to do the post game, and it was a very surreal feeling to see the elation of everybody out there, to feel that energy, to kind of feel the disbelief, and when you're in the moment, that it doesn't feel like it's real. And it was, you know, and now, you know, once it sunk in for me, and I wasn't even a player, the players, you know, they enjoyed all that other stuff, but they're just so focused on playing, and that's, you know, that's the only thing. So we got to enjoy all the other stuff. It was one of the best, like I said earlier, one of the best experiences of my life, sports-wise, without a question.
Completely agree with that. Chris Mason, you can hear him and see him alongside Willie Donick for Fox Sports Tennessee. Hey, it's good to talk to you as always, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Chris Mason, and also on the virtual broadcast that you guys do a fine job of, Willie. But we'll a lot to digest there. We'll have more coming here. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.